What's up, my peoples? Welcome to Urban Reform Podcast. And today I just wanted to address a few things. First, I wanted to deal with this whole issue about the difference between Reform theology and Calvinism. And wanted to discuss my opinion, my view on Flame's conversion from Calvinism to Lutheranism. That he just came out with his album, everybody's sharing it, it's all over Facebook, within the urban community. People are shocked, and well, people shouldn't really be shocked by people walking in their paths and choosing different theological perspectives. I know it's Flame, you know, but I'll get into that in a minute. What I want to discuss real quick is what Reformed theology is and what is not. Okay, so Reformed theology is not Calvinism. That is one of the biggest problems and misconceptions we have today within, especially within the urban young community, you know, not just the urban, but what they call the new Calvinism and all that stuff, which I reject that term in the first place. Also have my reasons for that. But the problem is there. Right away, people equate Calvinism with the total sum of Reformed theology. And that just is not the case. Okay? Reformed theology involves an entire paradigm of what we call covenantal theology. And when under the umbrella of covenantal theology comes the other studies within that, you know, we have, it touches ecclesiology, you know, the doctrine of the church, our doctrine of sacraments, regarding the Lord's Supper and baptism, and of course, soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, eschatology, the doctrine of the last things, and so forth and so on. But today, you know, in the last several years, let's just say that, in the last several years, thank God, don't get me wrong, there's been a resurgence of an interest of Reformed theology. Well, at least the aspect of Calvinism. Let's say that there's been an interest of Calvinism. But Reformed theology doesn't stop at Calvinism. Now, Calvinism is the doctrine of soteriology that is within Reformed theology, but it's not all of Reformed theology. Like I said, it involves many other things. But the issue, from what I've experienced, what I've seen, is guys, especially younger guys, they look to social media, Facebook, especially Facebook, and their favorite celebrity pastors, and they look to get their information and their theology from that, especially on Facebook. You got guys claiming to be Reformed because they're Calvinists. But then when you probe them, they're not really Reformed. They're Reformed in their soteriology, but they're not understanding everything that comes along with that, right? You start probing them, their dispensational and their eschatology, which is it's antithetical. Dispensationalism and covenant theology are hermeneutics. They're two opposing hermeneutics. You can't be both at the same time. Okay, you could be a Calvinist dispensationalist, but you can't be a Reformed dispensationalist. Okay. And so when you probe them, you start asking, okay, so what about the sacraments? Do you believe that the sacraments is a means of grace? And they're like, no, it's just a memory. It's just, you know, the Lord's Supper is just a memoriam of the Lord. Saying that's not the Reformed view. So you start probing into that, and you start asking about the church government, and they have mixed views of that. Yeah, we just have deacons or elder, but the pastor, he controls everything. And then you have all this confusion within the church government, especially in non-denominational churches, where there's not much structure. There's business-like structure, but as far as church government, there really isn't much proper biblical structure within these so-called non-denominational churches. But they're Calvinists, right? So the last several years, there's been a confusion of the two, confusing Calvinism with being Reformed. And that just is not the case. And we've been talking about this over and over again. I deal with this several months ago on my other audio podcast on Anchor that I use about what does Reformed mean anyways. And I talked a little bit about that also, because it's rampant. It's everywhere. You know, it's like, who's your favorite Reformed pastor? You see a post on Facebook and somebody put John MacArthur, like Paul Washer, you know, stuff like that. Like, don't get me wrong, I like, personally, as a Reformed Presbyterian, I love John MacArthur. I love Paul Washer. I think they legit. We need those kind of pastors, especially in today's society. But they're not Reformed. They're Calvinists. Okay, but they're not Reformed. Reformed doesn't mean predestination, election, you know, stuff like that. So we need to start, especially us who's been in the Reformed faith for a long time. I mean, myself being 24 years. We have to make more emphasis on what Reformed theology is. And it's not, guys, it's not just because the word or the term Reformed. Who cares? I don't really care about the actual term Reform. What I care about is the beautiful principle doctrines behind of what that means. You know, especially in the doctrine of the sacraments, you know, and the liturgical style worship, the regulative principle of worship, you know, things like that. There's a lot more to Reformed theology. And if you want to study what really Reformed theology is, then you're going to have to make the effort to purchase some books on Reformed theology, systematic books. See, Reformed theology is a systematic theology also, okay? But the problem is that, guys, with all due respect to many of you, you're lazy. You're being intellectually lazy because you don't want to take the time to actually dig deep and research. Not all of you, but there's some. Sometimes I keep to myself. I'm like, ugh, this guy doesn't, this, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, others, I try to explain stuff and they get mad. You know, they get all prideful and they think I'm just trying to be a know-it-all. I'm just trying to help you out. Trying to show you what the true beauty of Reformed theology is, that we believe is the most biblically consistent and faithful exegesis of Scripture. Okay? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be Reformed in the first place. But you have to take the time. You got to take the time to research the doctrines. What is behind Reformed theology? You got to get systematic, like Reformed Dogmatics, the three-set volume or the condensed book by Dr. Herman Bavinck. That's a great place to start. Want something a little more easier, get Dr. Louis Burkhoff, The Summary of Christian Doctrine, or his Systematic Theology. You have the Systematic of Dr. Charles Hodge, the Princetonians, these professors in theology. You know, get the Westminster Confession of Faith. Okay? That's a summary of Reformed theology within it. Even the London Baptist Confession of Faith, the Reformed Baptist Confession. Okay, I have no problem. Listen, I'm not one of those guys who say that, you know, Baptists are not Reformed. I used to in the beginning. Because they don't believe, you know, they don't have the same ecclesiology or, you know, about the sacraments, and they reject infant baptism. Therefore, you're not Reformed. That's not true. I don't believe that. I believe that there's an inconsistency there when it comes to that, but that's not something that I would reject my Reformed Baptist brothers over. Because I find a lot of them more Reformed than I do Presbyterians, to be honest. So get these get the London Baptist Confession of Faith. Okay? Get the Westminster Confession of Faith. Read the Belgic Confession. Okay, read these things. Get these systematics. Read through them. Don't just get your system. Here's the problem. People get a systematic and they go right to election. Don't lie. We've all been guilty of it. We all go to our favorite pet doctrine to get stronger in that field. You know, I'm just going to study what Bavinck says about election and predestination and the total, you know, the 5 points. And then we ignore everything else. And we think that's it. We got it on lock. No, that's not how it goes. We have to dig. Understand why we had the Reformation in the first place. You have to understand church history if you're going to understand theology. Okay? You have to. You got to know why there was a Reformation in the first place. Why does Reformed theology exist in the first place? And trace our roots back even all the way to the church fathers. Okay? And the principles of Reformed theology even within the church fathers. Even though some will say, take it like, no. There's principles. It's not full-blown, but they're there. Okay? There's a progression of the development of sound theology throughout the centuries. Okay, so do that, guys. I implore you, if you want, you have to learn at least the basics of Reformed theology. You know, you have the five solas. You know, you have the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. What is the Reformed view on that? You know, what is the Reformed view of church government? What is the Reformed view of eschatology? What is the Reformed view of worship? You know, the regulative principle of worship. What is the Reformed view of the elder and deacon distinction? All these things. You know, what is a Presbyterian form of government as opposed to a congregational form of government, to an Episcopalian form of government, things like that. You start to round out an entire aspect, an entire paradigm of what Reformed theology is. Okay, and that's the issue today, that guys don't look into all that. They think, I got the 5 points of Calvinism down, bam, where's my Reformed card? I need my Reformed membership card, and they just stay at that surface level of Calvinism. But then what happens? They start hearing critiques of deeper Calvinism, more in-depth into Calvinism, or a critique of Reformed theology in general about the sacraments and things like that. And then they're challenged and they say, oh, I never heard that before. Oh, man, Reformed theology is wrong, when you never even studied it in depth in the first place. And the only reason you even studied it was from a third-party source who's critiquing it. See? So your study of Reformed theology now came from a negative critique of the theology you claim to hold, which you never really did. Okay? Because you didn't take time to really dig deep into the richness of the Reformed faith. And trust me, you start studying these things, you will get a deeper knowledge of who God is, and it will enhance your gratitude and show the awe-inspiring glory of God's grace and mercy. Okay, at least for me and many people who I've talked to within the Reformed faith. Which, okay, so please, guys, let's do that. Dig deep. Study it. Take the time. But if you don't want to do that, you just only care about the 5 points of Calvinism and preaching the gospel, okay. But don't go around saying you're Reformed. Don't go around confusing people. See, that's how it spreads. People start spreading it, and then the information's out there that if you're a Calvinist, you're Reformed. And then you start making people who are not Reformed, the pastors and people, out to be Reformed when they're just really just Calvinists, and some are even watered down Calvinists. See, then it's all Reformed believe this. Reform. I saw a post where a guy said, oh, Reformed, you know, places works over grace. And they have, you know, modern style worship and drums and instruments and all this stuff, which that has nothing to do with Reformed theology. Okay. Even though many will say that these things violate the regulative principle of worship, right? So at least understand it. Wherever you come out with that, you know, you still have to study it for yourself and come to a conclusion. Look at what's been said throughout history. Find out what it is before you start making these claims. And that's the problem. People get their theology from social media, from memes, from false caricatures, from people online who are not even Reformed, and they start critiquing stuff, and because that's your friend, you believe them. No. Guys, be Bereans. Study for yourself. Look, that's if you're serious about it. If you're not, then that's another story. But again, don't go running around calling yourself Reform when you're just a Calvinist. Okay? And I'll be getting more into what Reformed theology is, into the deep the doctrines, when I do a series on the Westminster Confession of Faith. Okay, so we can get more into what it is. What is Reformed theology and what does it entail? Okay, so which brings me to the issue with flame. Now, I only met him once, but from what I've seen, you know, in his music and interviews and whatnot, you know, seems to me only had a, like I said earlier, a surface level understanding of Calvinism. Flame was not Reformed. Being a Calvinist, you know who's Reformed? Shaolin is Reformed. Timothy Brindle is Reformed. Christ-centric is Reformed. William Mendoza, the apologist. These guys are Reformed. They're not just Calvin. The cross movement is not Reformed. Love them, brothers. Know them personally. But they're Calvinists. They're not Reformed. Why? Because they're dispensational. I mean, I don't know where they've come recently, where they are, but in our little discussions and debates, you know, in person, on the phone, and Bible studies and whatnot, not Reformed, just Calvinists. Some are even 3-point or 4-point Calvinists. But anyways, my point is, you know, we got to stop and say, oh, Flame went from being Reformed to a Lutheran. No, he went from a surface level understanding of Calvinism, went to a Lutheran seminary, was challenged, didn't know what to do with that, didn't know how to refute it, and fell, in my opinion, this is my opinion, he fell for those arguments against Calvinism and Reformed theology. Because the things I've heard him say and the quotes I've read obviously shows that Flame did not and still does not understand the essence of Reformed theology. Especially when you make the claim that Calvinist emphasizes sanctification over justification. That is just ridiculous. Or that we look to our good works to have assurance of salvation. You know, things like that. Okay, there has to be a distinction made within that discussion, as if Lutherans don't do that. Because they do. And I can get into a whole discussion about Lutheranism, but I ain't gonna do that in this episode, okay? So that's what I think, basically, about the whole Flame situation. You know, and then you get people who are his friends, I get it. They want to defend Flame from the barrage of critiques, and they'll call it attacks on Flame. Because the Calvinists are responding to what Flame has been saying, which is just wrong, just straw man. Okay? But then these same people who defend Flame have the audacity to make this false accusation that we look at Calvinism as some infallible interpretation, and they tell us to chill. You know, the Reformed view of Scripture is not infallible, and this and that, when we're just defending ourselves. Mind you, Flame didn't just say, hey guys, I'm Lutheran now. No, he went out his way to critique, falsely at that, Calvinism in his music. But we're the bad guys when we come out and we defend ourselves from these false accusations? Give me a break. That's just ridiculous. They don't look at that part. Wait a minute. Flame attacks Calvinism. He went Lutheran. Listen, if you went Lutheran, that's your path to walk. Okay? I love my Lutheran brothers. The conservative Lutheran brothers. They're mostly Reformed too. They're Reformed. They're Protestants. They believe in sola fide, the five solas, and justification by faith alone, and the imputed righteousness of Christ. We disagree on the view of sacraments, of the Lord's Supper, and baptism. You know? But they're my brothers. Flame is not going to hell. He's not apostate because he went Lutheran. That's fine with me. I love Lutheran theology where it's consistent. I just believe that Lutheranism, when you probe them to be consistent, they're not. They appeal to mystery when they cannot be systematic. Reformed theology is more of a systematic theology, when Lutheranism is really not systematic because they appeal to mystery. When you start trying to say, hey, you know, you believe in elect? Yes. But can the elect lose their salvation? Yes. Wait a minute. And they're all, but it's a mystery. We don't understand it all, and we shouldn't try. Sorry. We don't buy that. That's fine if you want to believe that. As long as you trust in Christ alone for your salvation, listen, we cool. They're just inconsistent. Thank God for that blessed inconsistency within their view, which is fine. And any Lutheran watching this now who are taking offense to that, hey, email me, PM me, holla at me. We can have a discussion. We could talk about it on my podcast, or whatever the case may be. I love discussing these things respectfully and maturely. It's all good. Again, but that's the thing. Lutherans are our brothers. So, on the flip side, let's not act too crazy either. Okay, let's stop making accusations against his brother like he's not saved or he's unregenerate. Or, you know, he's going to hell or apostate. Nah, that's an extreme also. And we got to chill with that. Okay. I disagree. I wish he wouldn't have went Lutheran, but he did. Okay. We can just have discussions about that later on. But the problem is, again, he went out his way to critique and attack Calvinism within his music. Okay. And said a bunch of false accusations and straw man. Okay. Especially about the sacraments, about Calvinism, about works, the law, gospel distinction. It's a mess. But listen, he fell for their critique of Reformed theology. That's fine. People have their own walks of life and have to deal with their own responsible studies and whatnot. So people need to calm down on both sides. He's not going to hell, and nor is it the case that Calvinists who are defending themselves from these accusations claim to be infallible, or claim that their theology is ultimately infallible and perfect. Okay, that's the irony. The irony of it is, you give Flame a pass for attacking Calvinism, like if Lutheranism was infallible. How come you don't say that to him? But when the Calvinists are defending themselves from the straw man, we're the bad guys. That's ridiculous. And usually comes from people who themselves are not deeply rooted in sound theology, but just have a surface level of biblical thing. They're more into the hip-hop culture and less into theology. They have a surface level, but really, they don't know what's going on either within the deep aspects of theology. So that's why they come out and they say stuff like that. Okay, so that's my opinion of why Flame abandoned ship. It's because he didn't have a firm grasp foundation of what he believed in the first place. Okay, being reformed is a whole package of theology, not just Calvinism. That's the problem. And I get it. Like, the people right now are going to say, oh, that's what everybody says. Everybody who leaves Calvinism didn't understand it. You know. But you know what? When we hear people who claim to have been Reformed or Calvinists, the arguments they use against Calvinism or Reformed theology tells us that they don't understand what we believe, because you wouldn't use these false arguments against our view. At least understand the view correctly and disagree with it. You want to disagree with it after that? Okay, that's at least you're being honest and, you know, thorough in your investigation. But to say, oh yeah, I used to be Reformed, I used to be Calvinist, but you know, I'm not a Calvinist because Calvinism believes that God is the author of sin. Stuff like that. Do Calvinists believe that God is the author of sin? No. No. Matter of fact, the confession clearly rejects that idea. But because they didn't look into that before, they make these false accusations. That's why we say they were not really understanding the theology. Not because we want to throw out, oh, you didn't understand it. It depends what you say. Okay? Depends what you are talking about and how you present your critique. Because if you're going to go back to straw man's, then what do you think I'm going to say? Oh, you don't understand Calvinism. If you're saying ridiculous stuff like that, what do you expect? You know? Oh, Calvinism teaches that you don't have to evangelize because everybody's, that elect's going to come to be saved already. No. We don't say that. Hyper-Calvinists say that, but that's not even Calvinism. That's garbage. But that's what I mean. When you start saying stuff like that, see, you can leave Calvin and say, you know what? Calvinism believes in the distinction in evangelism. They evangelize and they understand that it's the means that God uses to bring the elect. But I disagree that there is a chosen elect in the first place. See, at least that's honest. At least you're saying something that we believe, but you disagree with it for reasons that is not a straw man. Okay, so that's what we're saying. So again, it depends on what you're saying when we say that you do not understand what you left. Okay, do some people just throw that out there without even asking why the people left? Sure, but that's not always the case. Okay, so those two points. If you're gonna say you're Reformed, look into what it is entirely, not just Calvinism. Okay? And when it comes to Flame, show that brother some mercy and grace. He's learning and walking in his spiritual life and sanctification like everybody else. Okay? Disagree with him, but don't condemn him to hell. Okay? Because he's a Lutheran now. Okay. Now, if he goes all liberal Lutheran and starts affirming abortion and homosexual marriage and all that nonsense, then you got to be like, well, now I kind of question what's going on, because now you're saying stuff that's just against God's moral law, period. But anyway, that's another issue. But regardless, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Seeing a lot of that on Facebook. And let's be, you know, responsible with our words. Let's be responsible with our views. Let's understand what we believe. You claim to be a Christian? Know why you're a Christian. What the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved. Also being ready, always ready to give a defense of the faith that is in you. Let's stop relying on your best friend or somebody you knew for 5 or more years on Facebook for your theology. Even me, when I say stuff, research what I'm saying. Go. There's a lot of material out there. Get the books necessary to study. There's ebooks online. They're free, too. There's free books. The Lewis Burkhoff Summary of Christian Doctrine. You go to monergism.com. It's free. A lot of stuff on there. Listen, monergism.com is a gold mine of Reformed theology. There is no excuse not to know. They have every subject possible. Okay? By the way, let's donate and help these brothers stay up as a website. Okay? Same as reformed.org, which my brother Scott Bushy and Matthew McCann are now running. Okay? Let's help these brothers keep these websites up so we can go to that for research. Okay? So anyway, with that, I'm going to go get ready this week to go into my series of Christology. The first one will be on the hypostatic union. These will be primers on these things. And then later on, we can get into more of what the controversies in Christology and whatnot. Okay, so with that, I'ma holler at you later. Appreciate it. Peace.